This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, January 6th, 2021. The Epiphany of the Lord in the Traditional Calendar, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is my practice to come up here generally and expound a portion of Scripture. But tonight I want to do something a bit different. And it's because I've talked to several, both in groups and individually, as time is what it is in our church and in our world. And people ask why. There are some reasons that we know why things are as they are. And one of them is our inattention to some very, very important things of Scripture. It's something that is very, very mundane we think about when we come in. We don't even think about it. I know I don't much. When we come in here, we dip our finger into holy water and we cross ourselves. The importance of what we're doing, and not just what we're doing, what it is. What are we putting our fingers into? What is holy water? And tonight, there's a few people here tonight because we're having the traditional water of blessing of Epiphany water. Things like this are necessary in the church because they have always helped her. This is why the Holy Spirit has done what he has done in the church, to solidify our faith and to protect us from evil things. And evil is rampant outside and inside our church. And so what I wanted to talk tonight was about holy water. Again, something we really don't think about that much. When you look at Epiphany itself, Epiphany in the Western Church is general. We think Epiphany, our minds, our Western minds click immediately to the Magi, the wise men. Okay, that's the Epiphany story. That has historically not been the emphasis of the church. The Roman Rite emphasizes the visit of Magi. But historically, it's been more focused on the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this Sunday is going in the Novus Ordo calendar. It's the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was never a thing because the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ was celebrated on the Epiphany. It's one of the way because the Holy Spirit, heaven's open, our Lord is baptized, the Holy Spirit comes down on him. But because it's always been this way, there as was a consequence, a special blessing of water on the Epiphany. That has always been maintained by the Eastern churches. It's how God works a lot of times. He'll have folks separate and they will maintain decent traditions. And then as time goes on, they will be reincorporated into the church. As a matter of fact, this was in 1890. So relatively, right before the turn of the last century. My grandfather was born in 1908. So 18 years before my grandfather was born. There was an optional ceremony to do homage to this tradition that was implemented into the Western Church. And when we look at it, it's not so much an emphasis on our Lord's baptism per se, more than the symbolic nature of the water that was sanctified when our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. When our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, never lose sight of the fact that one of the things that he did was to sanctify, because remember, I'm always harping on, when the fall occurred, it is not only Adam and Eve's spirit was corrupt and we just got that passed down to us. It corrupted everything. Everything. The created order was messed up. Everything that God had created was separated him because it was influenced by their sin. One of the things when our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized was to sanctify the waters for the chief sacrament of the church as far as initiation goes. That sacrament where we are baptized and we're brought into the church, when the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity are infused in us along with the Holy Spirit. Our Lord enabled this by sanctifying, making holy the waters of the Jordan River, and that river flows into all the other waters. So this is why we can use the water. That is what makes it possible to make water that our Lord has sanctified even more holy with his prayers. And this evening's rite, and for those of you who aren't aware, the blessing of Epiphany water. Like, I go like this over it, and now you're in for the long ride tonight, okay? Because after the Mass, it's a decent rite. There's a reason for it. There is a very powerful blessing that is imparted onto Epiphany water. It uses strong language to invoke the power of God over evil. It looks at the water as a cleansing agent, not looking at baptism as in, you know, what we gain from it when we are baptized, not what it does to us theologically, but what the water is itself, historically and traditionally. Epiphany water is better than other holy water, even traditionally blessed. It's better. But that word doesn't even compare to what it is compared to what the vast majority of Catholics get in their churches in our day. I am not going to expound on this thing. I want you to listen to the words. I mean, I'll throw in a little commentary, but I want you to listen to the words. This is the blessing. No, it's not. It's the prayer that said over water in the Novus Ordo Church. I quote from the Book of Blessings. Blessed are you, Lord, all-powerful God, who in Christ, the living water of salvation, blessed and transformed us. Grant that when we are sprinkled with this water or make use of it, we will be refreshed inwardly by the power of the Holy Spirit and continue to walk in the new life received at baptism. Traditionally, when you make holy water, you have salt, and you say an exorcism over the salt, and you pray over that salt, and then you take water, and you do an exorcism over that water, and then you pray for that water, and then you co-mix the two, and then you say another prayer. That's holy water that's made outside of Mass. In the Novus Ordo rite, there is no salt use. There is not one mention of exorcism in that very short prayer. And check this one out. If you listen to the words, there's no blessing. There's no blessing on the water. It talks about God being powerful. That's a good thing because the whole rest of it is man-centered. But at least it starts out with God being blessed. But it talks about us. It doesn't say one word about, Lord, bless this water. Even that simple. Just those few words. It's not in there. There is no blessing. There is no blessing on the water. We talk about the water that blessed and transformed us, past tense. When we are sprinkled with this water, that we will be refreshed inwardly. Not one word that says, Lord, bless this water. How is that holy? Well, I guess you could say minimally that there's a prayer said over it. It is not blessed. It is not blessed. It's almost entirely man-centered. The holy water that is done traditionally, and I'm only using snippets of the prayer because a lot of people come in here, and they're used to that. And I have beheld with mine own eyes have watched a priest, and they said, could you make some holy water? And he went, oh, I forgot my rite. And he walked away. What's that? In just the, let us use the term, regular rite, as we run out of holy water and the sacristan's coming, hey, we run out of holy water. Okay, I take it in there, and I think this is where a lot of people get, because they'll give me some water. Oh, can you bless the holy water? Yes. Come get it in a couple days. They're like, what? What? It's because it takes time. It's not this. Parts of the prayer. Over the salt, Thou creature of salt, I purge thee of evil. Be thou purified, salt. In whatever place thou art sprinkled, may phantasms and wickedness and Satan's cunning be banished, and let every unclean spirit be repulsed by him who shall come to judge the living and the dead and the world by fire. That's the exorcism over the salt. The prayer over the salt contains, may all that use it find it a remedy for soul and body, and let everything it touches be freed from uncleanness and assault from evil spirits. The exorcism of the water. That thou mayest be water fit to brace us against the envious foe. Mayest thou be empowered to drive him forth and exile him together with all his fallen angels by the power of the selfsame Jesus Christ who comes to judge the world by fire. The blessing of the water. Let this creature serve thee in expelling demons and curing diseases. Whatsoever it sprinkles in the homes of the faithful, be it cleansed and delivered from harm. That the two things are mixed together in this prayer, in part, author of invisible strength and king of an unconquerable empire, ever the glorious triumphant one who restrains the forces of the adversary, who overcomes the fierceness of the devouring enemy, who valiantly putteth down hostile influence. Prostrate and fearsome, we beseech thee. Lord, consider kindly this creature of salt and water. Make it honored and sanctified, if it would sanctify it with the dew of thy sweetness, wherever it is sprinkled in thy name, may the devilish infection cease, venomous terror be driven afar. That's in part. It is focused on evil. It is focused on our protection. Why do you think things aren't going well now? There is obviously a negation of the importance of shielding ourselves from evil influences. That's exactly what Satan wants. Exactly. I'm not here. There might not be a hell. And if there is, there probably isn't anybody in it. I quote, sort of, one of the most popular speakers. That's why we're having problems. That is regularly blessed. Holy water. This is part, a very small part, of the prayer this evening. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by his power, we cast you out, every unclean spirit, every devilish power, every assault of infernal adversary, every legion, every diabolical group and sect. Be gone and stay far from the church of God, from all who are made in the image of God and redeemed by the precious blood of the divine Lamb. Never again dare, you cunning serpent, to deceive the human race, to persecute the church of God, nor to strike the chosen of God and to sift them as wheat. For it is the Most High God who commands you, he to whom you therefore in your great pride consider yourself equal, he who desires that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God the Father commands you. God the Son commands you. God the Holy Ghost commands you. The majesty of Christ, the eternal Word, God made flesh, commands you. Therefore, accursed dragon and every diabolical legion, we adjure you by the living God, by the true God, by the holy God, by the God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Cease your deception of the human race, and you're giving them to drink the poison of everlasting damnation. Desist from harming the church and fettering her freedom. Begone, Satan, you father and teacher of lies and enemy of mankind. Give place to Christ, in whom you found none of your works. Give place to the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, which Christ himself purchased with his blood. May you be brought low under God's mighty hand. May you tremble and flee as we all upon the holy and awesome name of Jesus, before whom hell quakes. Again, a very small part in this evening's rite. What's better? There's no difference. That's just the way you do it, the way we do it. That's ridiculous. That is a ridiculous proposition. We are fighting Satan. We are fighting demons. We need weapons, and we don't have our own. The Holy Spirit has given us at least one in holy water. And we have the rosary, we have all the other kind of weapons that we can use and bring to bear. But holy water, particularly epiphany water, I mean, if you want to compare the three, it would be like in the Novus Ordo holy water, Satan attacks you and you throw a Nerf ball at him. Okay? Routinely blessed holy water in the traditional rite is like swinging a baseball bat at him. That's a lot better. Epiphany water is like having a shotgun. This is the reality of things. There are things that are better and things that are, let us say, grossly deficient. This is why we're having problems. We're not protected against the evil one. Think of the depths that we've got. We've got water that is called holy, that no blessing is placed upon. And if you go into the vast majority of parishes now to put your hand in that, where is it? It's not there. The fonts are empty. Do you think for one moment, this is why I never once considered not putting holy water out, because I know how it's blessed. And if you say a blessing on that, God's a liar. If you could get sick by putting your hand in there, God's a liar. Because these are the prayers that the Holy Spirit has given the church. And you get a lot of people, well, the Holy Spirit gave us that Novus Ordo prayer too. I don't know. I don't know if he could do that much different. Like go from what I just read, the traditional rites, to what I read from the new one. Because the Holy Spirit never contradicts himself. This is why we're having problems. It starts in little things like that. How pervasive are things now? This is what we have to understand. When we appreciate what the Holy Spirit does for us, I hope, I pray God, that you're like, oh, hearing that, I don't mind staying for a while longer today to have this water. But every other portion of holy water that you take out of this place is at least that second one that I read. There are exorcism and it's a shield. I would highly suggest, if you do get some from another, hold on to some of your epiphany water. And when you get some, yeah, if you have to, if it's a necessity, get some holy water from another parish, I would say that you pour some of this in it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.